We are live Friday night. You are listening to Warm Beer in the Cheap Seats. We're recording Studio C. Actually, we're Studio B. I don't know where I'm at. Just bear with me. All I know, it's Friday. I'm Casey. Big Mike is incognito. He's out there in the ether. So big shout out to Big Mike. Get an Uber tonight. Yeah, crazy chowderhead. So how's everyone doing? It's Friday. Yes, Friday. Take this job and shove it, boom, boom. And, you know, just chant Friday. So, you know, we're excited. Thanks for everyone that's going to be hanging out. Got a few people that are, may or may not be popping in. But, you know, we move on. So if you haven't had a chance, we do have a website where you can interact with us. They have links to our Twitter page, which you can get us at Beer Seats to find us on Twitter and interact there. Usually we post in the show and then some content that may have to do with whatever we're discussing during that particular week on the podcast. And generally we tease the Big Ed's Rock and Roll Retrospective, which I had some technical difficulties, but the band, now I'll let Big Ed kind of go on that later, is one I was never really familiar with, and I think Big Ed, this is going to be a big challenge for him, but he'll overcome, and he's going to teach us. So that's always fun. You know, when we put it up on Twitter, generally, we like to hear your comments, and if you're listening live, go ahead. We got a message page, someone is probably monitoring it. So that's it. We do have an email. You can always email us at the show at warmbeerandthecheapseats.com. But the website at warmbeerandthecheapseats.com, we do have an active blog. And my blog this week was about Nolan Ryan. You know, we're in the middle of summer, and you know, I just love baseball. But the one thing I didn't mention about Nolan Ryan, he did whip someone's ass that was about half his age. You know, he was just tough old Texan boy. So, you know, he didn't take no shit. And pitched till he's 46. And on his last pitch at 46, he threw 98 miles an hour. I think if I attempted to throw a pitch half that speed my age, I'd probably break my arm. So maybe we need to stop counting pitches and just see what that guy was in his water. Maybe we take that document. So, and that's all I got to say. Hey, Big Ed.
Hey, just disregard for minutes. I'm getting a double echo feedback, so.
Okay. Well, I thought that was like a new drop. I was like, oh, this is wild. It's like Rush 2112 or something. You know, we have taken over. That's awesome. So, well, and Big Ed's gone. So the technical issues abound. So last night, there were a few people that realized that we were going live. It was actually a test show, which was fun. Didn't mean to put a test show live, but we were trying to experiment with something. A member of the team, of the Warm Beer and the Cheap Seats team. And, you know, he's several states away, so it was hard to really kind of dictate, you know, what was going wrong. But, you know, you just try to traverse through it. But I'm sure everyone right now, the nature and state of the world, understands working remotely. And even when you play remotely, you're going to have some technical issues, and you just got to roll with them as best as you can. And that's just kind of what we're doing here. We're just kind of rolling with it as best as we can. But moving on. And so talking baseball, though, you know, we're, you know, getting in there in the season. We're already into June. You know, the Rays have played like 52 games. You know, most of the teams are somewhere, you know, low 50. So we're, you know, Oh, you're talking about we're almost like a third away already through the season. You know, they always talk about a long season, but it just like life, man. Time marches on. The next thing you know, you're in the pennant race, and that's that. But my beloved Rays have really turned it on of late after getting a tough start, and you know they're going to be in a battle, you know, with the Red Sox and the Yankees, and you know the Blue Jays are a team not to sleep on. Now, one thing I can't figure out: every day there's a story. I mean, someone really, really, really hates Tony La Russa, and I'm not sure why. I'm going to call it ageism, because last time I checked, he's in first place. The guy's won a couple World Series. I think he understands how this game goes. So just let the guy manage his team. I don't get it. In the National League, the Mets have somehow pulled in the first, and like three quarters of their squad is hurt. I don't even know how they're winning. Cardinals and Cubs are, you know, duking it out. And then in the West, it's anyone's guess. I mean, you know, the season started, Dodgers look like they're going to win 120 games. They've come down to earth recently, but the Padres and Giants are going to be tough. To me, the Giants are more the shock. I'll be interested to see what happens when, come August, September, you know, with a long season. However, I want to say welcome back, Scott Kazmir. Probably his 15th comeback to Major League Baseball, but recently got picked up by the Giants, and he pitched last week. So, I mean, that guy's had some big shoulder injuries, but he's always found a way to somehow dig back, and I like people that have that just don't quit spirit. So, and then obviously NHL, they're in the mix of their playoffs. My Lightning they clinched. It was a tough series. I didn't want to see that tour go to a game 7 against the Panthers, and I think they're going to be a problem in the future. We'll play the Panthers again as long as they keep Quenneville there as a coach, good squad. So we'll see them again. And you know, and it looks like we got to play Carolina next. So Hurricanes, that's been a pretty tough battle. So you know, but. Defending cup champs, or you got the target on your back. I think the big shock so far in the playoffs was that the Islanders knocked out the Penguins. I mean, I know a lot of people on the island are going nuts over that. So, but Islanders move on tonight. Minnesota Wild and the Vegas Golden Knights play a game 7. Go Minnesota. You know, that would be good. I have a lot of playoff success with them, so that would be something a little different. And tomorrow night, the Leafs and the Canadiens are playing game 6. That's been a pretty contested series. The Leafs are up. They're missing their captain. Tavares just took a nasty hit, just a freak thing, but got a wicked concussion. So, you know, get well soon, and hopefully he comes back. So they're all kind of waiting on that. You know, Islanders are going to be playing the Bruins. They're going to have their hands full with that. And, you know, the Avalanche are going to wait for the Leafs and the Canadiens. And really, those playoffs were a little behind the Canadiens teams because they're in their own little division, had issues with COVID early in the season. So there were a lot of games delayed. So, you know, they actually finished their regular season a little behind everyone else. But that's all right. Off days for everyone, so get some rest in the rest of the NHL. So that's me talking sports. I'm just going to kind of chime back in, but I had a couple things I wanted to go over him. But you know, I'm wondering, just you know, while I'm just talking to myself, you know, the deal with like comedy, I mean, I don't get it. You know, Viacom bought him. The end goal is, I mean, they already, as far as Comedy Central Radio, it's they have no live talent. They dumped the Bonfire and everyone else that was on there. And then as far as regular programming, it's all their new shows are going to be animated. And when you turn it on, it's all day, The Office, which is weird. And then the other one they do is South Park, which, look, both shows are funny. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, you have all this catalog of stand-up comedy, you know, stand-up specials. You had the Premium Blend. I mean, there's none of it. You're called Comedy Central. I mean, they pulled – Comedy Central is pulling MTV.
I was just going to say that. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, they're like
they didn't even spin off to like a VH1 classic, you know, to at least look at another 2 years, you know? They just went right to crap.
I don't get it. Viacom's a very, very curious company. I mean, and they've been doing a lot of weird stuff since Sumner Redstone finally passed away. And then you had the one guy at CBS got ousted because he wrestled a lot of control on the media end of Viacom, Les Moonves. So I don't know what's going on. They gobbled up all these different TV channels, and I don't know the end game. Maybe it has to do with like streaming and pushing everyone into
control, like everything else. Control.
Well, you know, it's all about the medium, as far as getting your content out there, and CBS had rebranded their CBS All Access as part of that Paramount Plus, which ties into all those channels that Viacom owns. So it's not by accident. It's, you know, I'm just trying to figure out really the end game there. But I don't get why you have a radio station you don't use it. I mean,
I record everything. I can't remember the last time I watched Comedy Central was when David Spade had that late night show. It was on at like midnight, 12:30.
What a great show, man.
It was the best. Show. He was a great talk show.
See, that's another show. Another show got dumped.
Yeah, and it was a great show. And you know what? They kept – he did 30 minutes of just funny stuff and would leave you wanting more. Because I was talking to our patriarch, and he was a big fan. I said, what do you think about it being
Hey, that says a lot.
Yeah. Well, as I said, don't you think it could be like an hour? He goes, yeah, but it might be too much. You know, David Spade is – I don't think he's an acquired taste after, you know, 30 years in the business. Maybe in the beginning, but now I think he's
– You know what? He's not a guy like – you know, and I guess he does stand-up. You know, I mean, I guess that's what he is by trade. You know, and he was hired by SNL as a writer and, you know, moved up as a performer and a writer. But he's just a naturally funny guy. You know?
Yeah, his sarcastic comebacks are the best. I just totally relate to his style of humor. Or his put.
Yeah, like he's got to be a guy that's like a really fun hang, you know? Like you know you're going to have a good time. Like there's going to be a lot of laughing going on.
Yeah.
Jesus, what's going on over there? Did you just move a dead body around? There's a lot of shuffling.
Yeah, I lost you for a second. I didn't hear anything you said, but I'm sure it was.
Oh, I just heard like this. It sounded like you were dragging a dead body or something. I don't know.
You know, I have a setup that seems to be working, but it's just not ergonomically. That'll be next. This baby steps with this. I'm just glad that I'm able to be on the air, you know.
Well, you know, some of us figure it out. Obviously, our scheduled guest, I'm going to say, is not figuring it out.
No, he's got no one there to help him, so he's just all a mess. So, as soon as
we'll have to work on that.
Yeah, we'll have Swami on there for sure.
Yeah. So for our listeners, Swami, you know, he's like our hockey insider, but, you know, he knows other things, but going to have him on, you know, just because we're in the midst of the NHL playoffs, kind of get everyone a little learned on what's happening, but that's all right. Well, we just keep moving on. You know,
This is a train with no stops. Keeping on. It just goes.
You know, life's a garden.
It doesn't stop.
Yeah, dig it.
Yeah, he's digging it with the mayor of McCheese of Bedrock, whoever. Mr.
Slim. Well, I did a little David Spade, you know, Joe Dirt reference.
Yeah, it's a dig. It's a digger.
Hey, I got an idea for you. You see, we're talking about SNL alum, and I think I kind of mentioned something to you. I think this is fun, and I don't know where. Are we on the air now? Apparently, we're on the air. Anyways, what if we did like a Saturday? All right, so they just finished season 46. They're going on to season 47. What if we did our own like SNL fantasy draft? Like we all get to choose like six people. Like that's our perfect cast. Just like you do like a fantasy baseball team or a fantasy football team, everyone takes a turn.
Yeah, and then how does it play?
I don't know. I think it's just, you know, just kind of, like I said, idea.
I was thinking about how to play it, you know, like maybe we queue up like episodes with those people in it. And they get
I don't know if we...
That's quite a library. Yeah, let me pull that up out of my archive.
Yeah. No, and then what we'll do, we'll contact them all, and then we're going to contact them all at the end. We're like, all right, you're in a draft, and you have to now perform a comedy sketch for us. And
you have to recreate,
then we'll,
you know.
I mean, it kind of did. Did you ever watch when they did that 40th anniversary special and they brought back, I mean, everybody, and they kind of did some new sketches, but they did like old sketches they kind of redid?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it'd be kind of like that, you know?
I would like to even think that we watched it together at the Red Horse West.
No, I just, I think I just moved.
Okay.
I think I was already in Ohio.
But it was right around that time.
Yeah, it was right around that time. That time flies, man.
Tell me about it.
I don't know. We got to discuss. We got to have an idea. And look, I mean, so we can even have Baby Di can... I know she listens. She could probably text in her pick. So, you know, I think we can make this work. We can have four or five people.
Oh, then we got to come up with a budget then. Each.
Well, what do you mean a budget?
Each player is going
to
be
worth. You want to bid on them?
Well, why not? Something like that. Just go around and pick, like, say, Dan Aykroyd. He's $1 million guy. Or we could just make them points like 1 to 5 and say
pick
6 on your roster and you get 20 points to use. So you can't be like Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase, and Adam Sandler. It'd be like kind of stacking the house. You got to, you know, have your...
I got you. Yeah, all right, all right. So there could be a point system.
Sure. You know, Joe Piscopo, is he really a 4? He's probably a 3. You know, or,
Piscopo.
Yeah.
I always like Piscopo because he got pissed at Phil Hartman over Phil Hartman's impersonation of Frank Sinatra. He's like, you know, that was just a really mean version of Frank. I don't like that, you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he actually was mad at Hartman, you know, Hartman's Sinatra. And who knows, it wasn't even like accurate. He was just like, you know, I find, you know, chunks of you in my stool. He's just like yelling at people.
Didn't he do the duet with Eddie Murphy and they did Ebony and Ivory?
Yeah, Piscopo.
Yeah. Oh, that
was
Piscopo.
Supposed to be,
He's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You
him,
are
and there's
black.
Supposed to be that
I
Stevie Wonder.
Not, you know.
Yeah. I'm blind to that, and I have sight.
Yeah, that was actually a classic.
Yeah, that was good.
That could definitely be worked in.
And then Piscopo made like the first golden rule, broke the golden rule of comedy, was go to the gym. You don't go to the gym.
Yeah, you go as is to the grave. Unless the doctor tells you got to, you know, lose 200 pounds, get gastric bypass surgery. You know, Billy Cardell's doing Ozempic and he's got to, you know, still eating enough ribs to be diabetic, but not too much that he dies.
He's found out a way to lower his A1C.
He loses the weight, then he's not diabetic. And I'll say it again, he'll lose the gig. He doesn't need Ozempic because he did what he should have done, lost 200 pounds.
Right.
So I was hoping to get the Met game on MLB, but they put on the Marlins.
Oh, on MLB?
Yeah.
Marlins are a weird team. I can't figure them out. But I do like that they got Donnie Baseball. I thought he got a raw deal in L.A. They should have stuck with him. But I don't know. They got anxious. And I think Mattingly's a guy that's gotten constantly the short end of a stick of his whole career. His back finally gives out, and the Yankees put together a team that's worthy to win a World Series, and he has to retire. So he doesn't win a World Series. He's pretty much earmarked for, you know, the Yankees job, and they kind of push him out, you know, as a manager after Torrey.
Here's an interesting Swami, the hockey guru. He's a big Yankee fan, and he's was talking to him in the car yesterday when I went home from work and asked, well, who's the better first baseman, Keith Hernandez or Don Mattingly?
Ooh. Well, yeah. Okay. Keith had a great career, man.
Yeah, he did. He kind of was under the radar.
He won two World Series.
Yeah.
Multiple gold gloves. People forget. I mean, that guy defensively is as good as any first baseman in his generation. Mattingly had more power. He had just more natural power. He just had such a compact swing.
Well, Mattingly right off the bat.
Yeah.
First of all, his popularity because he played for the Yankees, you know. But Swami said right off the bat, he said right as soon as I said that, he goes, yeah, but Mattingly had to retire early because of his back.
See, that's the thing, and that hurts Mattingly for the Hall of Fame. If his back didn't betray him, he would certainly be in the Hall of Fame because he was putting up the same numbers almost as Wade Boggs, where Wade Boggs is hitting singles, but he was doing that with also doubles and home runs. I mean, he was just a natural power hitter, you know, but good contact, you know. I mean, the one year he had 7 grand slams.
That's
I think 87. I mean, that's like which I believe is a record. Yeah. But yeah, once he started having those back issues, you know, he missed a lot of time. Then, I mean, he was fairly young when he retired.
I didn't realize. I guess I forgot about that.
Hey, what did you think about the new track last week? I did talk to Big Mike last night for a minute, and we liked Austin, that the Circuit of the Americas or something they call that track.
Yeah, I think they could. NASCAR should stay away from rain. The cars just put out too much, you know, wake when it's wet.
Well, you know, there's a learning curve. I think it was raining too hard at some point. But I kind of like it, you know. Look, I won't fault NASCAR for trying something different, you know, and you got to do something different with the sport sometimes, or it's just gonna,
yeah, but that rain was out of control. Like, it was just,
But it was on like half the course. Hey, that was like Florida rain. Like half the course was just getting just destroyed, and the other half was like pretty dry still.
Yeah, once they restarted, it was a lot better for sure, even with the track wear. But when it was raining, the rain wasn't channeling anywhere on that track. It was just laying there.
Yeah, I mean, well, that could be the how they designed that track where there's not enough pitch for the water naturally run off.
I mean, Martin Truex gave a lick and then took a lick, you know?
Oh, there were a couple of wrecks that were a little scary there.
Because they couldn't see in front of them, you know. Even if you can't see the brake light, I guess maybe red flag it, you know.
Yeah, I'd say that would be pretty safe.
They made the analogy. I think it was 20 times brighter than a passenger car. Like that brake light. That's how bright it was supposed to be.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, LEDs. Sure.
So I guess if you can't see the brake light, then it probably should, you know, park the cars and figure something out. That's pretty
Are they in Brickyard this week? No.
I don't know.
Oh, no. The Indy 500's this weekend because it's Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, they're in Charlotte for the 600.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's so they're in Charlotte. Yeah. Open wheel is the Indy 500, which, you know, I used to like that race growing up. I look forward to it every year. I don't know. There's something about it. It just doesn't. I don't know if it's the people or what. I just can't get into IndyCar anymore.
Yeah, I remember we looked forward to it, you know, when we only had three channels, no cable. You know, that was a wide world of sports. Every now and again, you'd get like 30 minutes of NASCAR, you know.
Right.
And then if it rained out, it was like such a disappointment because you knew you weren't
going to see it. Yeah, we were like, oh, well, we were supposed to watch that.
Yeah, it's not going to be on TV on the next day. You know, the drivers, they're more colorful back then. You know, you had the A.J. Foyt.
You had all the Unzers.
Rutherfords.
You know, Al and Bobby.
Yeah.
Rick Mears. You had the a bunch of Rutherfords. AJ Foyt.
The only reason why he stopped racing IndyCar is because he couldn't fit them. He was getting fat.
Yeah. How about Mario Andretti? You know, he was always, you're like, how is he going to blow? You know, he'd always have a car that was just dialed in. You're like, somehow going to blow this race.
So did the boy in the beginning.
Marco, right?
The middle one.
Mario
Jr., right?
Michael?
Michael Andretti.
Yeah.
On Michael Black wrecked his car. Had to be 94, 95.
You know what? There was a pretty good Canadian driver that was from that era, from the 90s to the early 2000s, that would have that. Tony Kanaan, maybe?
Oh, Canada.
Which I think he
That's
did.
That's a big 500 family name.
Yeah, but he had like weird luck like that too. Like he would cut a tire on like lap one and then, you know, nose into the wall. You know, you go 30 miles an hour, you do any damage, that car's done, you know. I think he finally won one though. I have to look it back up, but I know he had just real crap luck for a while, and he'd always have a really fast car.
Yeah.
So after our little test show last night, you know, and this is what happened to me. I got the laptop, and I'm like, oh, I want to look up something on YouTube, and, you know, you got videos, and I was listening to the music last night that, for tonight's show, and interesting, and we'll obviously get back to that. And, you know, then there's a sidebar thing. I'm like, oh look, there's a cat video. It's gonna react to snow. I gotta click on that. And then it leads into one thing to the other, and it's a black hole. And then it's like 4 a.m. I've been watching wrestling videos for like the last 2 hours. It's like a black hole. And I get like that with Wikipedia too. Do you ever experience that with either of those two sites?
I can see it happening. I go to bed now. I'm done with this. I figure if it was there last night, it's going to be there in the morning when I get up.
Well, that's true.
I've learned well, to really
I haven't,
appreciate
I haven't
a good
matured
night's sleep.
Like you, though, you know? I haven't matured like you.
Yeah, you'll be there. You're getting there.
Well, all right. So the other night.
You get tired of being tired, that's all.
Well, yeah, that's true. I got in this little Wikipedia black hole and I was looking up something and I fall into this like page. I find it's like, you know, someone's like your famous last words, like people's last words before they die. That's an interesting list. And some of them are prophetic and, you know, they mean something. So this guy, Kit Carson, he was a frontiersman. He was a big cavalry guy in the army.
Right, you know, they have I remember that.
Yeah. So his last words, he's dying. All right. I quote, "I just wish I had time for one more bowl of chili," end quote.
Yeah.
All right. One.
Sense of humor to the end. Is that what they call that one?
Well, one, he liked chili a lot. Not like, send my regards to my kids. It was, first off, chili. Two, he must have had good chili. Like, so a recipe obviously died with him. So I'm a little mad about that. Like, he should have died and be like, this is my recipe for the greatest chili ever because that's all I want. I'm about to die. Do you think you would have something like you would say like that? Like it would be just kind of funny? You know, like, hey, one last punchline.
Myself?
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. What else is there to say?
Oh, that would be a good one. What else there is there to say?
Gee, the light's getting dark in here.
Yeah.
Hey, turn the lights on. They are on. They are dead in 3 minutes, brother.
No, your last words are, you and what army? Yeah. The U.S. Army. Yeah, that's a good army.
Not today. So I'm on Wikipedia looking at a 1990. I was looking up the Mario Andretti. I guess Michael Andretti crashed on a pace lap, but it didn't knock him out of the race. But he didn't.
Isn't that something for? I mean, that's such a spectacle of a race because they're there. It's like the Daytona 500. They're there all week, practicing.
Oh, it's all month. There's a schedule.
But I mean, to do that, there it is. The race is about to start, and then you wreck in the opening warming lap. I mean, wow.
It's 4 weeks.
I mean,
they're in Indianapolis for 4 weeks.
Wow, I didn't realize it even went that long. Wow.
Yeah. They have a ton of practices, pole day, time trials, practice, carburation day, which I guess back in the day was a big deal.
And that's kind of the beginning of their season too, right? Because I can't think of really many Indy races going before then, or maybe
this... It's not the beginning of this season.
Oh, okay.
Find out in a second. June 6th to October. Oh, that was last year.
Oh yeah, they had a weird season last year, but they're generally they start after NASCAR and they're done before then. but they end up out in the West Coast. I think they always finish out like in Vegas or something like that. One of them little tracks.
Yeah, they started in April. So I thought I'd see. Oh, okay. I watched one of the races. Yeah, May 30th, Indianapolis 500.
Huh.
Qualifying speeds, no faster than they were 25 years ago, 230.
They can't really go too much faster. I think it would be too dangerous, right?
230 is pretty fast. That's like saying you and what army, you know? Yeah, that's...
All right. All right, fair enough.
In 1992, no, but I mean, in 1992, they qualified at 232, was the pole. So here we are, 2021. 231, so they slowed them down.
Do you think they'll ever bring F1 cars to that track?
I would say they'd be too fast. I think they're probably as fast as these cars.
Oh, I agree. I'm curious.
I don't think those guys would ever run an oval. They would probably want to be a traditionalist and run the race itself.
I was really surprised
when NASCAR started running the stock cars on that track. I think it was a great idea. I love the Brickyard.
That's a wild course for the stock cars. I mean, there's not really much of a grade to that track.
No, it's a high speed, road course, kind of like.
Yeah, I mean,
four distinct corners, they're not like bank turns.
Yeah.
So what else you got going on?
Who, me? Well, you got a little wrestling going on in the background. Hey, have you watched any of those wrestling biographies, by the way?
No, we've talked about it. Until I set a DVR for something, I have this, my staples, Road Car Garage, Roadkill Garage.
Oh, yeah, Road Kill.
Pretty much the Motor Trend TV lineup. I'm watching that Dirt every day. This guy's funny.
Did you ever get into Step Brother? Right. Did you ever get into Last Man Standing?
Yeah, I liked that show. I have about five or six on tap.
Okay, because they just did the last one. Not this Thursday, but the Thursday prior was the last episode. But I watched it end up over the last weekend. But it was pretty good. I think as good as that you can wrap up, a show. I mean, end up doing like 9 or 10 seasons. So that, pretty good run there.
Well, but it got canceled and came back. So that I don't think too many shows have ever done that. I think Family Guy's the only
one
I can think of.
Yeah, so I don't know. I thought it was a fitting. It was more like a tribute to the show itself.
Yeah, little change. When you change characters, sometimes that could be the death of a show. That could kind of like jumping the shark and put it in a different step.
Well, it kind of happened with Home Improvement. Because that Jonathan Taylor Thomas got big and then he wanted to do something different. And he actually left to do a couple movies and I think he wanted to go to college. And that kind of hurt the show that last season. However, I think they were still like a top-rated show. It's not like I don't think they were – they might have been number one in their time slot, but they weren't the number one show.
Right. Tough bracket, business.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Your writers are
good work if you can. Oh, yeah, you got to have good writers.
And this girl that plays Mandy, who was the brunette, is now a tall blonde. She just doesn't do it for me like the other girl did.
It's like a chemistry thing. I don't know. I feel like the character is just a little off. I can't put my finger on it. Molly Ephraim, I believe, is the girl that played Mandy really for the duration of the show up until they came over to Fox. I think she used to crush it, but then when Eve was gone too, that was a big part of the mix too.
Yeah, she had a really good chemistry with what's his name? Tim Allen.
I mean, it was actually amazing for them to bring it to Fox for doing a partial lineup swap. And then the little boy you didn't see anymore, that was the grandson.
Right.
He just kind of went away.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So I was just looking at something, but I didn't realize this. So the guy that played, not Kyle, the other, I guess, son-in-law, the one that was married to, I guess, the oldest daughter. The guy who's like the Canadian kind of hippie guy.
Yeah.
He's Danny Masterson. He's a Masterson. He's Danny Masterson's, I think, half brother. Yeah, I didn't realize that. But then I was looking at him like, yeah, they got the same eyes. That guy is in a lot of trouble. That Danny Masterson guy.
Really?
Yeah. No, it does. Like, the transcripts that are coming out from the court case does not look or bode well for him or that church he's associated with. We could be seeing some changes to some things. Crazy.
Yeah, because he was on the ranch.
Well, he was the ranch.
I loved the ranch. And I thought for sure he'd come back. But they cut him right away. They just got rid of it.
They
right
cut him.
Away.
Yeah, no, it had to have been bad because I think him and whoever the creator of the ranch, like, they were good buddies. But I guess when he kind of caught wind of some of the story, he's like, gotta go, dude.
Yeah, they were like really good friends.
Yeah. And I heard it like kind of screwed up the show. Like the show wasn't right since he left.
No, he was pretty pivotal. I mean, he was the rooster.
Yeah.
And then they brought in Dax Shepard, who I guess to pull off the bench as a pinch hit didn't do bad, but it was, you know, big shoes to fill.
You know, there are guys that like make a career of doing that.
Yeah. Well,
you know what I mean? They're like, something's not working. We gotta pull him in. He's like a Ted McGinley, you know?
Heather Locklear, Tom Selleck.
Yeah, Selleck's kind of done that before. Well, but Selleck's also still could be a headline guy. I mean, you know, he's got Blue Bloods, but yeah, Selleck kind of stepped in there for the original Big Ed.
Yeah. Charlie Sheen stepped in for Spin City.
He was great in Spin City.
And then Heather Locklear showed up too.
Yeah, they were great together.
Yeah, because that show was kind of, you know, I like Spin City.
I do too. That's Bill Lawrence wrote that show. He's the showrunner. And then he did Scrubs. I've always been a fan of like anything that he does. I don't think he's
yeah. I know you're a big fan right of Scrubs. Now.
Love that show. Now there's one thing that Comedy Central used to show a lot was Scrubs early in the morning. So you know, if I was up at 7 a.m., I'd be like, yeah, I could put on some Scrubs while I'm getting ready.
Did you ever watch The Ranch?
You know what? I didn't, and Sweet Melissa bugs me about it. But we got to figure a day, and we're like, we're going to have a day, and then it's going to be The Ranch and what's the other one? The Crew?
Oh, The Crew. Yeah, The Crew is good.
Which I think she started watching a couple episodes.
Well, you know what, the crew I would do first, because that you could knock that one out quick. It's set up like a sitcom, so it's probably like 26 minutes.
Let me ask you this. Is it the traditional three camera live audience sitcom? Or no?
Yeah, I would say it's in a studio. I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I think you like it. Kevin James isn't doing like his regular shtick, you know. Although, you know, it's Kevin James.
Yeah. A lot of food humor.
But he's not rehashing some stuff like he does in his live skits. Like his comedy show sometimes is based on his, you know, his stuff he does. I really like the crew.
Jesus. Big Ed.
What? That was a big yawn. I tried to hide it.
Man.
I'm getting at the end of the day now. Used to be, you know, I'm just getting warmed up.
Years ago, you would have been just getting warmed up.
Well, even weeks ago, I just started working days, so 9:30, right?
That takes a bit, especially you're doing that night shift for a while. You know, your body just becomes a biological clock. You know, you just kind of get set in a certain time.
This is definitely much better, because I'm getting tired, like when most people get tired and sleep at night.
Right.
I got to go out to some of these minor league games they have out in Daytona.
Oh, the Tortugas.
Yeah.
That's a Cubs affiliate.
Yeah, I don't know any other.
Hey, this Florida Gulf League's pretty good. I mean, you got Clearwater, you got Tampa. There's quite a few of them, and they're really inexpensive. I've been to, now they call the Tampa Yankees, they call them the Tampa Tarpons now, which is what their name was when they were a Reds affiliate back in the 80s. They were the Tarpons. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Back when they still had Al Lopez Field?
Yeah. Used to call it Horizon Park, and you could park in there.
Oh, yeah. Correct.
It's been the many Italian in that place.
Oh, man.
The concerts, too.
A lot of crazy tailgates. You know, I was so oblivious because, you know, I'd go to the USFL, for folks who don't know, that was the United States Football League. We had a great organization here, the Tampa Bay Bandits, one of my favorite pro sports teams ever. We had bandit ball. We had the
owned
old ball.
Owned by who? The Bandit himself.
Burt Reynolds.
That's right.
He was one of the owners, correct. And so we would go to Horizon Park. And I was a kid, and the group I was with, there were a lot of kids, so we would just run off and throw a football and just run around and just, you know, do kid stuff. Meanwhile, the adults were doing adult stuff. I guess they were doing some heavy drinking that I never noticed as a child until, like, when I got older and looked back. I'm like, yeah, they were kind of getting a little crazy. Yeah. Those were rowdy games. And there were always night games. They were always like Friday night. They did a lot of them in the summertime. Or they were like spring, summer league. But I loved it. And, you know, Friday night at Tampa Stadium, the old Sombrero.
The old Sombrero, yeah. That was brutal. Those seats were just tough.
Yeah, they're break down your ass for sure. You had to bring in a cushion.
It was a prison sentence for 2.5 hours, you know.
No. If you did not have a cushion, those are the hardest. Yeah. I mean,
the worst. Even
I've
with the cushion,
metal bleachers
still...
before, there was something about those metal bleachers that were just brutal, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they were the worst. It's like sitting on a Embraer 145 for more than an hour and 16 minutes. That was another one. I used to hate when we had to take like an Embraer from Cleveland to Houston. I mean, that's 2.5 hours on a big jet, you know. An Embraer, as reliable as great that aircraft was, that airframe, they were the worst seats. Whoever designed those seats was definitely, you know, was like a quadriplegic and never felt his ass, you know, go dead or something.
Well, why are seats always overlooked in everything? Always overlooked. I'm like in a car. But all the first thing and last thing and what you do always in a car is sitting there. Make a good seat.
Yeah. Yeah, call Corbin. They make custom seats. I'm sure they can make one for. Although I gotta say, the vehicle I'm driving now, the seat's pretty good once you get it set up the way you like it. You know, the lumbar.
Yes. That. Yep.
Pretty pleased with this one.
Hey, let me ask you. You know, just at Tampa Stadium. Baby Die brought up something. Seeing, you know, that was a good music venue. There were a lot of big shows there. She'd mentioned Elton John, Billy Joel, and I believe she'd saw that show was the first time they did that dueling piano tour. I saw with you Rolling Stones in 94.
Yep.
Part of the Voodoo Lounge tour with Spin Doctors opened. I remember no one gave a shit about the Spin Doctors. And they had two big radio hits. No one gave a shit. We're like, just give us the Stones. That's the only show I ever saw at Tampa Stadium.
Was two Rolling Stones shows?
No, just that one. You went to what? Steel Wheels, right?
Steel Wheels. I saw it twice. That was a great show. Just after their hiatus of not touring.
Hey, that was supposed to be their last tour, too.
Yeah.
Hey, that's like 1989. That was supposed to be their last tour.
Who toured that year?
Touring this year.
Pink Floyd toured. So Floyd.
Wow.
All the same, yeah. Floyd, Stones, and The Who. The big three of classics, you know?
Wow.
And they did not disappoint. Yeah,
three great live bands, too.
Pink Floyd, just a really great night. And it was like, I think, September, October. Right on the floor. Saw them in Orlando, too. Orlando, the weather.
Yeah, that's a good time strong. Of year to go see a live show, too, outside. You know, very mild for Florida.
Yeah, so Metallica, Faith No More, Guns N' Roses. Oh, no, maybe that was...
Was that there, or I thought that was the Citrus Bowl?
No, maybe that was Citrus Bowl. Wrong answer.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So a Monster Truck.
I mean, that's there. Also the side of the stadium where Led Zeppelin was, like, banned from coming back to Tampa. It was in 77. There was a lightning storm, so they didn't take the stage. And I guess it was a bad storm. It wasn't going to let up. And then they didn't come out. They canceled the show and a riot broke out because people just lost their mind over it.
Yeah.
That Zeppelin wasn't going to take the stage.
The mighty Zeppelin.
Yep. 77.
That was bad.
Part of the Presence tour.
Yeah.
And then obviously that was it. They never had a chance to come back to Florida because when that tour ended, you know, they had some time off. And then 79, they had In Through the Outdoor. They only played the Nebworth Festival. And then they were about to embark on a North American tour and the drummer died. So not make it all sad, but it is what it is. But Tampa Stadium, legendary venue for not only sports, but for music.
So and the more you know.
Oh, yeah, Monster Trucks. I saw Gravedigger break an axle there. That was pretty awesome. And I used to do motocross there all the time.
I've never been to motocross at Stadium.
Oh, man. Those were fun, man. And that was during the days of Jeremy McGrath was just stomping a mud hole on everyone, man. I mean, to prove a point, he was with Honda early on in his career, and I guess Honda was a very regimented team, like how you got to do practice and this and that. And he had won like 4 straight championships at this point. And he was just getting burnt out. And Suzuki said, just ride our bike and you can do whatever you want. If you want to surf 6 days a week, just race on the one day. That's fine. He came to Suzuki. I saw him that year, Tampa. I think that might have been like 95. And he won. And he won the championship. I think to this day, it's the only time Suzuki's ever won a championship on that tour. And then he only raced that 1 year with Suzuki, and then he went to Yamaha and just thrashed people for a few more years, and then he went to like off-road trucks.
Oh, the I think they called the trophy trucks.
Yeah. That. I think to this day he might still do that, but he left motocross to do that, and that's when like Carmichael started coming up. Being like the new young guy. That's a young man sport, though.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, he did the Nitro Circus. I used to love watching those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy was pretty badass, man. I mean, he started like what all those guys did. He was a BMXer. And then obviously progressed from BMX to motorcycles, and still say he's the greatest rider ever.
Oh, sure. He's even dabbled in monster trucks and bush racing. What do they call it? Xfinity?
Yeah, I think he's done some stock car of some sort. I'm almost positive. Like he was either ARCA or he did whatever the bush series, not like a full-time ride. But he had a full-time sponsorship with Monster for a long, long time.
Right.
Hey, so you have something special for us, something really obscure, honestly. The Rock and Roll Retrospective. Big Ed, take it away.
Yeah, I was doing some reading the other night, a couple weeks ago, and it was an article about bands that had a really good album, and then that was it. So they listed like 10 bands. I haven't heard any of them. So I just grabbed one. I downloaded, I went to Apple didn't have half the music, so this is one that I got. There's another one I'm going to do, not this week, maybe the following week. Yeah, there's another one I'm going to do. But anyway, this is called The Highway Robbery. This is a power trio. Mike Stevens, Don Francisco, and John Livingston. Mike Stevens is the guitar songwriter. Don Francisco plays drums and sings. And then John Livingston is a singer, bass player. They say the most immaculately hip aristocrat. Not sure. I couldn't find any other why they call them that. It was released in June of 72. Yeah, just could be a self, you know, like, you know, I'm Big Ed, you know. It's called For the Lover Money. Came out in June of 1972. There's 8 tracks and 33 minutes long. I'm going to tell you, this thing grew on me, and this I'm really disappointed that there's only one album. I mean, this is a one-and-done here from a U.S. trio who put out a Hot Rockin' For Lover Money, and then that was it. The group leaving the world with minimal impact, but one pretty good record that today we're going, that I'm going to examine in detail. So it starts out with Mystery Rider. Opens with a cool, echoey, I call it almost like a tribal chant type riff. with Jefferson Starship like vocals. Interestingly, because Starship wasn't yet releasing albums when this came out. The next song is 15. Begins with a really heavy guitar assault. Really indicated to me that this band means business. The lyrics about contemplating one's own life and growing confused as he or she gets older. And as far as I know, interestingly, again, because as far as I know, only Alice Cooper's 18 describes that kind of teenage conundrum. Next song was All I Need. Contains a softly sung, sincere vocal, almost like a ballad. All I need is to have you please believe in what I do. Stand beside me when I'm blue. Really nice, poetic line. It reminds me of the 70s bang period of like the James Gang. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, if you ever listen to James Gang, there's a lot of... I heard a lot of Blind Faith type riffs or Keith Moon type fills or, you know, just... Everybody was influenced. Yeah, Joe Walsh. I mean, everybody was influencing everybody. So it's hard to say who influenced whom.
Yeah, everyone was just a fan of the music, you know? Sure.
Exactly. They were a fan of each other. Lazy Woman. One of my favorite songs. It's a heavy song. Really like a Humble Pie type of guitar lines appearing between the vocals and a really cool guitar jam in the middle. Lazy Woman, I Tell You What to Do is a lyric vocal melody that packs a lot of punch and fury, in my opinion. This moves fast, too. It's a nice flow. Side two starts out with Bells. Bells has a delicate, soulful lyrics that switch into strange rocking ballads, really well-timed and natural-sounding tempo changes with great fills. The atmosphere is kind of friendly and welcoming. Track six, Ain't Gonna Take No More. Has an aggressive guitar with hyper blue tendencies. Appropriately captures the feeling of not taking it. Meaning like not taking anyone's crap anymore. Heavy and exciting guitar riff, cool riff exchanges at the very end. Then I'll Do It Again is more interesting lyrical content about figuring out life and love during a confusing time after losing everything. The notes open tune remind me of a Cream song. Very soulful song that gradually gets heavy as the lead singer intensifies his vocals. And then this was my favorite, the last song, Promotion Man. Just a goof on like the advertisers or your manager. Has a real catchy riff in the beginning with strange lyrics about a working promotional band. Cool guitar riff, tempo changes during the yeah parts, and an extended blues metal guitar workout through the second half that really saves the song. This album was I think it was superb, and it was a rock classic for that era of music, and I'm sorry it left me wanting more. RCA wanted the band to go into a different direction, but the members refused, and then the history was left with the one and done. The marketing people had all said all along that there was no focal point. The singing drummer had always failed, and a couple songs had been sung by the bass players were even more confusing. So like these office, these suits, they call them back in the day, they didn't get it. You know, they wanted the traditional... You know, musicians with the lead singer. It's not always like that.
Right.
So,
because you have guys that, again, it goes into guys that they have power and money, but they don't know anything about art, you know, an expression, or they don't understand music or any of that shit.
Well, you get So the one superb album by Highway Robbery was dropped by both RCA and its management company and promptly forgotten. Unlike Deep Purple, who got to make four more shitty albums before they managed to muster up, you know, a good album. And they defined the music for a generation.
Sure.
So in my opinion, this was a super rock and roll album. And if you didn't like this, then you're just not a fan of music or a fan of rock music.
I think you did them justice tonight.
I think they'd be proud, but I couldn't really find out too much more what happened to them. The guy that did all the writing did some session work and like for hire stuff, but that's all I could find. It's really, really scarce info.
You know what? I'm sure that's not really uncommon for that era of the late 60s, early 70s, that there were, you know what? Even in the 90s,
there are a lot
you think about Trip Funk and that era of music. Rock and indie or alternative music was so hot, they were signing all these bands. There's probably music that would melt your face that we just never heard, that just never saw the light of day, you know?
Look, right, being on the road with Trip Funk, I saw a lot of cool bands that they played with that were really good.
They were part of maybe it was a studio. There was a compilation album. And I have it somewhere.
Guppy Records?
Guppy Records? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Guppy. Yeah. Oh, geez. It's all coming together. It all comes together. It's all about the guppies, man. A baby guppy.
Another dead guppy in the tank.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm down one of them, but one of them wanted to go over deep waters. Not a good idea. You're about the size of a fish flake, so not smart. There are some bands that I love on that. There was one that was kind of like a Rage Against the Machine. They do that song Krakatoa.
Yes.
It's got a very aggressive guitar riff, but it's fun. The guy could just scream his head off, man. But it's a good, you know, I mean, you know, if you're in a gym, like, pump that song up, man. You're going to be, like, working out like a madman.
Yeah. Yeah, they were kind of a cross between Rage and the dude got shot on stage. What the hell is the band? Pantera.
Oh yeah. I could see that. Yeah, Dimebag Darrell. Yeah, definitely. And I guarantee they were definitely influenced by him.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, their album's called. You know what? Talk about something for about 2 minutes. I'm going to find it. It's in my.
Well, before you look it up, what would you rate this album, though?
This is like a 3.5.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know what? I mean, you hear sounds of like, hey, this is like the birth of like metal. Like that's definitely, they were way ahead of their time, whatever they're doing. I liked it a lot. I enjoyed the album. I had a hard time finding a lot of their music like you. And I found a link on YouTube, which I thought I posted last night. Apologize to everyone. Had a little technical issue, obviously, there. But it was just listed as the full album, so I didn't see the titles or anything. But I listened to it.
For Love or Money.
Oh, yeah.
It was a power trio, and the record companies weren't a fan of that, you know? There weren't many that made it.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. I don't know why. And to this day, they're still weird about power trios.
Like you can't sing and play the guitar at the same time. I guess Trip Funk was saying a couple weeks ago, it's pretty hard to do.
Well, you're a busy guy. I mean, you got to fill, you know what? You got to fill a lot of sound, though. And that's what it is. You're filling sound. And especially when you're lead, it's nice to have a guy that's doing rhythm guitar, too. That gives you a lot of flexibility. Just that alone. Just having that. Forget like having a guy on keyboards or what have you.
Right. I loved it. I'm going to listen to it again.
Oh, good. Yeah, no, I liked it. If I ever, I'll keep an eye on that vinyl. when I run around to that. Well, there's really the. Actually, I found a place out by me that maybe next time you're down here, we can find some hidden gems as far as vinyl or something. As far as instead of going all the way to Sound Exchange. I'll tell you, Sound Exchange is definitely, it's a good music store. Don't get me wrong. But it's definitely people that are a little snobbish about music that work there.
They've always been like that.
Yeah.
They're all like that. There's a place in called the CD Basement in D.C. Guys, the same way. Oh, you're the only one that enjoys music. That's why I'm in here every Saturday buying stuff. Fucking idiot. And they'd always look at me because I'd always bring back what I bought the week before.
Oh.
I just rip it and save it. It just takes up so much space now.
Yeah, no, it does. You know, I used to do that more, and then I've a pretty healthy CD collection still to this day.
Sure. I think so.
You know, I never threw them out, but I consolidated. They're all in folders. They're all in folders. I got rid of all the hard cases because that took up a ton of space. I moved once, and I was like, oh, no, I'm not moving with all this. This is all bulk, man. So anyway, yeah. Long story short.
I saved the covers on. I used it in my fish tank.
Well, I'd say about like 16, 17 years ago, I was putting everything on a hard drive. Yeah. And I put like probably 400 plus albums on a hard drive. And the hard drive somehow got corrupted. And I was like, well, that was a lot of time I can never get back. And I can't fix any of those files.
I have it on a thumb drive now.
Like, I would be like, oh, I want to listen to Nine Inch Nails. And it would be, I don't know, it would be a Neil Diamond song. I'm like, huh? That's weird. That's kind of how I figured out. Like, something went and renamed and changed everything around. It's just not good. And it wasn't like me. I was like on LimeWire downloading. It was my stuff. I bought and paid for these albums. I was just putting it on my computer. Right. So I could just, instead of always messing around with the disc, I could just go in on a media player and just hit random or create, like a playlist and stuff, which I like doing. I like playing DJ.
Yeah. Because you can't complain if you don't like it. You put it on.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's that. I don't know what we got planned for next week. I'm sure we'll figure it out. Oh, I'm not sure if you saw, I started the show just kind of talking about Nolan Ryan because that was the my little blog post that I put up on our website. But the one thing I forgot to mention was, which I started to show with their Big Ed, was that on top of all the accolades and stats of Nolan Ryan, he beat the hell out of Robin Ventura, who was like nearly half his age at the time.
Yes.
And so Nolan Ryan was interviewed later on, and they asked him specifically about that incident. He hits Robin Ventura, he runs up, and, he puts him in the headlock and just starts wailing on him. But they're like, well, what made you think about that? He's like, well, in 1980, it was really on. It was like the first year he was with the Astros. And he threw a pitch and it hit Dave Winfield when Winfield was still with the Padres. It must have been his last year. So it must have been 1980. And he charged a mound. And Nolan Ryan didn't do anything. And he just got absolutely mauled by Dave Winfield, who is a man and a half bigger than any other man that's ever walked this planet. Nolan Ryan's like, next time I'm not taking an ass whipping and I'm just going to be aggressive. If someone charges, I'm coming right after. And Robin Ventura end up being that unlucky guy.
Yeah.
But I never knew that. I never knew. There's got to be video. I'm sure, you know, I can scroll and find it somewhere, you know, with the internet. But, you know, I mean, not because, again, it was 1980. You know, baseball wasn't as televised then.
I bet you could find that clip.
That would not be a guy I would like to be on the mound charging at me. A Dave Winfield? No way.
Maybe that one would be a little harder to find.
Yeah. Guy was a three-letter, you know, or whatever. He played basketball, football, and baseball at University of Minnesota. Guy was a phenomenal athlete. And George Steinbrenner just really hated him for some reason.
And yet he kept him all those years.
Well, he had to. There was an ironclad contract he had. He was the first million-dollar man in baseball.
I thought it was Catfish Hunter.
Oh, no. You're right. No, it was how the contract was written, the long term. Because it was like a 10-year contract he signed. I think he got like a whopping $12 million out of it. Imagine that. I mean, there are guys that are just like jobbers in Major League Baseball right now. Jobbers that make $12 million a year. Dave Winfield was getting paid pennies.
It's miserable in Boston.
What's that?
Pouring. I've had the Red Sox game on the whole time. I haven't really been watching it because I've been listening to our show, but it's pouring. It's 5-2. I didn't even know it was 0-0 when the show started. It's now 5-2 Boston, and I can't tell you how those runs were scored.
I got SmackDown on in the background here. Just Seth Rollins is going on about, I don't know, he's going on about something, probably about Cesaro. But I got to say on SmackDown, the women's is getting much better. They got a lot of good talent there. The big surprising thing was actually, and that's why I was hoping to get – him, but yeah, he probably had something going on. It's Friday night. He's a in demand person, but Ted DiBiase. The Subway Slam. Yeah. But Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, like showed up on like WWE's NXT circuit, like just mocking people. I was like, wow, the Million Dollar Man, he lives and he looks good, man.
Looks like going out, huh?
Yeah, well, he's still the million-dollar man, but he's doing the same gimmick. He's like, everyone's got a price, you know? I'm like, geez, man. You know, but, yeah, I think we've said it all. What do you think there, Big Ed?
We've said enough.
We've said enough, so that only means
we've said enough to keep them wanting to come back for more.
Well, yeah, come back for more. You know, reach out, Twitter, our website, all that. Which I at Beer Seats and warmbeerandcheapseats.com. I want to thank everyone. Share, like, subscribe, share it with a friend. Big Ed, do you have anything you want to leave us with?
Maybe a little emotional.
Jesus?
Yeah.
And I promise next week I will promote the next album.
Yeah, I'll talk to you after the show. I have two good ideas.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks for everyone. Stay safe. Take care of each other.
See you. Later.